White, Adelaide, South Australia, November 9, 1892. Dear Willie, yesterday the tickets were extended for 1 month, so we can go when we please and stop at Ballarat. Now we want counsel as to just what it is best to do. I want to do the will of the Lord. If the tickets had not been extended, then I should have left for Melbourne at the right time as designed. Now I think it may be the will of the Lord for me to remain. But it is painful for me to have such help to open the meeting and read the hymns and offer the long, long prayers that I listened to last Sabbath. It certainly is in no way inspiring to me, but very painful. Every word is rolled out in that colonial tone and pronunciation. I involuntarily say, Lord God, deliver us from such service. I cannot see that this church will grow and improve and receive the right mold without, unless, help shall come of a different order than can be found here. I have no surprise now that the church is not what it might be. There are excellent people here, but they need instructing. They need help and binding together and elevating and ennobling. But I simply cannot take this burden. Someone must take it who has influence, to plan methods to reach souls, setting the truth before them in its simplicity and beauty. There are those who will work if they have someone to help them who know how the work should be conducted and can be a leading influence, one who will speak words that will encourage and inspire, one who can devise and plan and put forth consecrated effort. It needs a man and his wife. I would remain here the full time allotted by the tickets, but if no help is sent to be with me of a proper order, I cannot feel it would be profitable. I have a little strength, and all that I do is with cheerfulness, but through trial and suffering. And if my influence is of any value, it can tell fourfold with someone to push and hold all that we will gain. I do not expect to visit Adelaide again, although this is not certain. I am fully pleased with the place. I think much of the people and am sore distressed when I consider how much might have been done that is not done because of unconsecrated workers. It is these thoughts that distress me and wear me, that our General Conference should make such unwise moves as have been made in sending Elder Curtis here to Australia, and that the Conference in Australia should not have examined his work and changed this order of things. The neglect of doing that which was manifestly the duty of someone to do has left a burden on this conference to be especially liberal in doing a work now to redeem the past and make, as far as in their power, restitution for the past neglect. Elder Curtis is supposed to have the endorsement of the conference, and thus leaves a guilt upon the conference for sustaining a man who was remiss in his duty, unfaithful to his charge, giving lessons in dealing with the supposed erring contrary to the Bible rule, which now have to be counteracted and an entirely different mold given to the church. This business is to me a sad and sorrowful one. And it is not a feeble effort or short work that can make a sufficient change and leave a healthful, wholesome influence in the church, which will be abiding. I am willing to do all I can do consistently, but to carry with me a sense that so little is being accomplished in my being here is wearing upon me. I am willing to do to the uttermost of my ability, and that is all I can do, and more than is prudent for me to do. Well, I have now spoken my mind freely, and I want some definite expression of what had better be done. I shall look to the Lord and trust in Him to make the way plain before my face. I rested quite well last night. It is cloudy today, and I think it will rain. We learned yesterday we have till today noon to prepare mail for Africa. I am glad, because I can now get all copied. I have written 10 pages to Brother Robinson, 8 pages to Brother Wessels. I do not mean to be unreasonable, but when the enemy has had so much advantage given him as has been done here, I see that a decided charge is to be made to take the fort, and wise generalship is needed to hold it. I am so glad I wrote and labored with Elder Curtis before I ever saw Adelaide, and before I had any outside evidences of the things which were proved of the Lord. But I do not believe Elder Curtis or his wife have any real sense of the woeful neglect that has been practiced here or upon the Melbourne Church. May the Lord work, is my prayer. May the Lord wipe away this reproach and bring his people into a state of harmony and strength, is my prayer. In love, Mother.
November 9th, 11 o'clock. Well, Elder Daniel's letter just came, and I have read it. I had written these three pages before it came. Now, I am so busy getting off African mail, I must get myself settled before I can properly consider the letter from Elder Daniel's. We'll write for tomorrow's mail, if the Lord will. I sent 8 pages of letter paper for Brother Wessels, and put in a good article I had struck off on calligraph. Sent to Elder Robinson, 14 pages and 2 articles I had printed on calligraph. One was that short one to Melbourne, in regard to missionary work. My dear son, I am sorry that you have to come here at expense. We can pack our goods easily and, if you think best, let a brother put them on board. But do tell me, shall we stop at Ballarat? This is to be considered. Or shall we defer it to another time? I think it will be best to stop if these tickets will be considered all right. We have kept Emily writing for a couple of days very closely. May has done her work, to give her the time. I am so glad you wrote to me about that boat going to Africa. I am satisfied with the arrangement of being in Melbourne as you propose. The tickets we send to you, to see if they will be endorsed by the authorities that be in Melbourne. Or is it best to just come right along and say nothing to the agent in Melbourne? Just tell us what to do, that is all. Mother.